Welcome to the Taylor Tax Show podcast. We are here to help highly paid, highly taxed, and high profile taxpayers save a bunch on your taxes legally. When you follow our podcast, you will know how to make sure that the more you make, the less they take. Folks, welcome to episode 13 of the Taylor Tax Show. I'm Terrence Taylor. I'm the co-founder of Taylor Tax, and I'm an enrolled agent. It's my partner, Big Al Darnell Jr. Say what's up, Big Al. What's
going on, everybody?
All right. Big Al is also an enrolled agent. Today's topic is taxes and nonprofits. And the way we want to cover this is we want to share with you, first of all, that we've made a shift in our focus. We're focusing on taxpayers now, not individuals. I'll talk briefly about that. And then we'll get right into the podcast itself. So the first thing we're going to talk about in the podcast is why taxes are important for nonprofits. Secondly, we're going to talk about understanding the difference between donors and beneficiaries and the tax benefits of that distinction. And then third, we're going to look at the importance of structuring and managing nonprofits properly to optimize and in some cases maximize tax benefits. At the end of that, then we'll talk about what are the useful lessons we want you to draw from this podcast. All right, so Big Al, let me just first let folks know why we're making this shift from individuals to taxpayers. So
yeah,
we've done 12 episodes and we've said most of the time, I think, that we're looking at individuals, so highly paid, highly taxed, and high net worth individuals. Then yesterday we had the privilege of having a conversation with a client who had some questions about a nonprofit that he is involved in for his community. And it made us realize that, wait a second, we actually have a lot to share and that will be helpful for taxpayers who are not individuals. So in the case of this particular client, he was talking on behalf of an organization that works with the community. So we feel it's really important to expand beyond just individuals to taxpayers. So from now on, you hear us talk about tax strategies that help you save a ton or a bunch on taxes for highly paid, highly taxed, and high profile taxpayers. All right, Big Al, we now want to get into this topic that we both are so excited about, which is nonprofits and taxes. So what do taxes have to do with nonprofits, Big Al?
Absolutely everything, man. The entire premise of a nonprofit is that they are a corporation whose profits are not being taxed. But that's all based on it following the guidelines of subsection 501 of the Internal Revenue Code. All right. Now, what you have to understand about this is that everything has to do with structuring. And us as tax strategists, what we're doing is we're structuring a plan. We're structuring an environment, financial environment, for you to save on taxes, but for you to also remain in compliance with the Internal Revenue Code, which is the only way a nonprofit exists. It cannot exist outside of compliance with the Internal Revenue Code, based on how it's structured. So, and we'll talk more about this later on, but if you could you tell us what's the difference between donors and beneficiaries, which are two of the primary components of a nonprofit?
And Big Al, when we were having this consultation yesterday, it hit me like a ton of bricks, right? That one of the most powerful things that we could do to help taxpayers who are looking at nonprofits is as a way to help their communities, is to help them to make that distinction between donors and beneficiaries. So picture this, Big Al. Most of the time when we talk about things like taxes and tax strategies, we're looking for a win for the taxpayer, right? But in the case when we have nonprofits and nonprofits are there to benefit a community of beneficiaries, that adds another win for another group.
That's right.
Now, the nonprofit is there to help out a community. when we're able to help the nonprofit to attract donors, because this is what the client presented to us, they were thinking about how to be expansive, right? How to bring in more people so they can help their community to help the young people of the community. And in that conversation, that light bulb moment happened to say, ah, yes. So we got the young people who are the ultimate beneficiaries.
Yeah.
There's a lot that can be done. And I know you're going to cover a bit more when we talk about structuring to make sure that the status of a nonprofit remains with the entity that is set up. So from a tax point of view, then things can be done in the most tax advantage way. But Definitely. Now in answering that question of, well, how do we attract the donors? Then the question the client asks is, what are the benefits for the donors? Yeah. And then both of you and I, we just lit up like kids on Christmas Day.
Right? All day, all day.
Man, there's so many benefits for donors. And this touches briefly on something that we talked about on episode 9, strategic gift giving. And when we talk about the useful lessons, I'll come back to that. But to bottom line it for folks, the community of beneficiaries absolutely win when a nonprofit is set up properly and is structured and run and used properly. Secondly, there's so many tax strategies that are available to help to incentivize and reward donors to the nonprofit. So you go from the win for just the beneficiaries to the win-win for the beneficiaries and the donors.
Exactly. All right,
Big Al, let me come back to you. Tell us a bit more about why structuring is so important and what are the benefits of structuring in managing the nonprofit properly.
Appreciate it. So here's the thing about structuring. You just have to make sure that you understand that with a nonprofit, the reason it's non-taxed is because there's no private benefit to any one individual. First of all, from a structuring standpoint, the nonprofit is not owned by anyone. It's owned by the entire community. So it's owned by the community. It's managed by executives, but it has monitoring and oversight by a board of directors. All right. Now, with this board of directors, they're making sure that the managers or the executives that manage the nonprofit are continually benefiting the public, the general public, based on the purpose statement. All right. And the reason I wanted to focus on that purpose statement is because whenever there's a different purpose, you more than likely are going to need to create a different entity in order to make sure that you remain in compliance. You have one purpose statement that you create when you create the entity, when you create the nonprofit, and you need to adhere and stick to it or make a material change to your nonprofit. All right. And you have to announce that on the state and the federal level. So making sure that it's structured properly is going to keep all the profits from being taxed, and it's going to keep the benefits going to the beneficiaries, and it's going to keep the benefits going to the donors with the win-win that you talked about, because they could continue to get their dollars donated, wrote off. And I specifically said dollars donated because I wanted to talk even further about the benefits to the donors are not just limited to the dollars that they could donate, but certain assets, appreciated assets that they could donate in its appreciated form that provide huge amounts of tax relief when it's donated properly to the nonprofit. One of the things that we mentioned in our consultation is how people from your background in the tech world, they have a lot of shares that are part of their total compensation package at their company. But those shares actually vest at a much lower price than oftentimes what they're sold for years later. Now, in order to avoid that capital gains tax, you can donate those shares to a nonprofit and write off the appreciated value without having to worry about paying the capital gains tax because you did not sell those shares, you donated those shares. So it benefits the nonprofit because they can immediately liquidate them and receive the capital without having to pay a tax because they're a nonprofit corporation. And then you receive the donation benefit to write off, you know, against your active income. So long as it's structured properly, from the nonprofit standpoint, it's hugely beneficial. And so long as your tax plan is structured properly with the systematic way and the strategic way that you give your gifts, like you mentioned, strategic gift giving, it can benefit you tremendously. And I didn't even think about it until right now, but the idea of avoiding the capital loss limitations of $3,000 can be done when it is given away. Because when the money is given away, like I said, it is a charitable donation and you don't have to worry about it, the income implications, because it's not going to be categorized as income. It's going to be categorized as a donation. So yeah, man, there's a million things I could talk to you about on that. But if you could talk to us about some other useful lessons where it concerns nonprofits and taxes and gift giving.
Yeah, I'm rubbing my hands in glee. There's so many useful benefits, right, when it comes to, and lessons when it comes to nonprofits and strategic gift giving. So let me touch on the first one, right? So strategic gift giving, which we covered in episode 9 of the Taylor Tax Show, looks at ways that the tax code incentivizes us to actually do philanthropic things and help others out and get tax benefits for it. So you've already mentioned a couple, but let me build on some of the things that you shared. So in this consultation, we were letting the client know that, look, if you set up a personal family foundation, you're now in a position where you could use your restricted stock units to fund your personal family foundation. You get the tax benefit of up to 30% of your adjusted gross income, right, as a write-off on your personal taxes. And now you're in a position where you can give 5% of whatever amount you've put in to your personal family foundation. Let's use numbers here, Big Alan. I would say, for example, you're making $300,000 as a salary. You can put up to $90,000 into your personal family foundation, and 5% of $90,000 is $4,500. So you can give $4,500 to the 501c3, right, as a minimum. Or you could actually give the entire $90,000 to the 501c3 if you choose to through your personal family foundation, your PFF. Now, the beauty is you get a $90,000 deduction on your tax bill. And depending on your tax bracket, that could set you up nicely. So for argument's sake, if you're in the 30% tax bracket, you'd be in a higher percentage if you're making $300,000. But to keep the math simple, you just save $27,000 on your taxes.
Yeah.
So that's a huge benefit. We also let the client know that the donor advised funds, which we also talked about in episode 9, is another way to go, where you can put up to 60% of your adjusted gross income of $300,000 in a donor advised fund. So a different vehicle to a personal family foundation. And that 60%, then you can decide how you use it. And we let them know, for example, how and when you use it. We let them know, for example, that if they were planning a long-term campaign to raise, you know, a lot of money to purchase assets in the millions of dollars on behalf of the 501c3 to benefit the community, they could then get $180,000 as a write-off on their taxes, and they keep the $180,000 in the donor advised funds until such a time that they choose how to deploy it. That they have to deploy to a 501c3, but a very powerful strategy. So those are some of the benefits we help them to see, Big Al.
Yeah.
And strategic gift giving is just a very useful way to think about what you want to do. The last thing that we shared with them, and you came up with this brilliant strategy on their behalf, because they were saying, what if I can get a bunch of people to all commit a certain amount to this particular capital raising that we're doing. And you said, well, in that case, you could set yourself, you can set up an entity like a LLC.
Correct.
And we then further discussed, well, what happens if the LLC buys this asset, this appreciating asset, and then the value of the asset, for example, doubles? Like, what would be the tax treatment or tax benefits to the donors?
Correct.
And we looked at Section 1202 of the Internal Revenue Code, where even when the corporation is structured as an S corporation, you're still allowed to recognize the, or you're still allowed to exclude up to $10 million worth of gain in the share value that you own as a shareholder. So as you can see, we can wax lyrical about this, folks. Big Al, let me come back to you and ask you, hey, tell us a bit more about the tax strategies that are important for nonprofits. I may have stolen a few of them.
No, that's great. And I wanted to go back in because you mentioned the different amounts that you could write off of your AGI when donating. So when donating to a private family foundation, just like Terrence mentioned, you could write off 30% or you can donate up to 30% of your adjusted gross income and still use it as a tax write-off. You can donate as much as you want. You can only write off 30% of your AGI from it, though. But when it comes to a 501c3, then you could write off 50% of your adjusted gross income. Terrence also mentioned donor-advised funds. With donor-advised funds, you can write off 60%, just like he mentioned, however, with a caveat, and that's why I'm bringing it up to mention that you can write off 60% of cash contributions to a donor-advised fund, but if it's non-cash contribution that for assets that have been held longer than a year, then it limits it to 30% again. So it's so if you're going to move, let's just say your restricted stock units or stock into a donor-advised fund, then you can only do 30%. But if you're moving cash, then that's up to 60%. But that's a huge strategy. But as I mentioned before, and thanks for the alley-oop, Terrence, what I mentioned before is that if you have different purposes, then you might possibly need to create a different entity, a different structure. All right. Once again, the nonprofit doesn't have a purpose of acquiring assets that accumulate in value, so on and so forth. The primary purpose is for them to house themselves and not to have to worry about the added cost of a building if they can acquire it completely and pay it all off. So that's a benefit, and that's a huge reason why nonprofits could purchase their own facilities. However, in certain instances, especially at the start of things, a huge strategy could be if you have a specific group of funders, of donors that are industrially minded, you could create an entity that would purchase the real estate. Then that entity could then take the depreciation so that take the depreciation, lease the real estate to the nonprofit and earn cash flow, and then decide later on that they then want to donate the entire building to the entity. All right. So now the reason that's what I believe to be a great strategy is because, you know, you kind of double a lot of your benefits. Think about it. You purchase the property through this entity and you write off the depreciation, you obtain cash flows, and at a time, later time and date, as it grows in value, you can then donate it to avoid the capital gains and then also benefit the nonprofit. But so many things that we could say about that. And the last thing I did want to mention before we sign off, or I give Terrence the final thoughts on the matter, is while we were doing this consultation, a huge benefit that we had at our fingertips, a huge resource that we had at our fingertips, was this amazing GPT called Tax Strategies GPT, which Terrence in particular was able, during the conversation, to use and in real time come up with a ton of like gold to insert in and benefit the client. So make sure that you check out Tax Strategies GPT on OpenAI's ChatGPT website, and then consult us for further details on how to use it. But back to you, Terrence.
Hey, thanks so much, Big Al. Hey, folks, we really enjoyed talking to you about this subject. It's something that we initially hadn't really thought about, but when this particular request came, we thought, why not? Let's do this pro bono. Like, let's see what we can learn. And now we know that there's a bunch that we can do to help folks to save on taxes legally through nonprofits. And we will see you soon with episode 14. Take care.
Indeed. Well, make sure that you follow us and subscribe on YouTube and any other platform that good podcasts show up on.